Hey, church family, welcome back to the podcast. So I'm calling this episode 2 of Brick Sager, right? I want you to get to know a staff member that you already know. In the last episode of our podcast, you got to see a little bit about his personal life, how long he's been at Carterville, the different hats he's worn, where he grew up. Well, in this episode, I want you to know more about what Brick does currently in his role at Carterville. We're kind of in a unique spot in that the vote on February 4th to install Brick as our next discipleship and membership pastor, in some ways, is really just making permanent what he's been practicing for the better part of 3 years. But I thought I would speak directly to a question that I've heard a couple of times, Brick, which is, hey, wait, if Brick is the interim, why did it take us almost 3 years to hire him as a permanent guy? I kind of want to, like, before we kick off the podcast on what you do, I want to open the door to that. I'm going to speak kind of personally, though. I think, like, the best angle is just my own. So this is me more than anybody else's. When we started the search, that first January, we started taking resumes. You turned your resume in. Mm-hmm. You weren't certain that this is what God wanted you to do. The search committee was very, very committed to a thorough and careful search. We received resumes from all over the place. Like, literally, we had a few international resumes. We had great resumes to filter through. The search committee wasn't sure if this was a job God wanted you to do. You weren't sure if this was a job God wanted you. And for almost a year, we worked in that paradigm, working as hard as we could, looking at resumes, interviewing candidates, respecting you. And we did not have great clarity on what the end result was going to be. And in January, a year ago, you felt a nudge from the Lord to withdraw your resume from the search, that God was going to do other things in your life, that you were going to go and very likely lead in a parachurch Kingdom of Heaven organization somewhere out there for Jesus' name, but not local church. And we respected that, and the search committee engaged our work for the better part of the next 9 to 10 months, looking at other candidates very, very strong. And, you know, we did interviews and we did all our search committee work. And then 9 to 10 months later, you felt like the Lord was leading you with a call to serve the local church, to serve the body of Christ as a member of church staff, and that he was leading you to resubmit your resume so that you might do that here with the church that you love, the church that you've served already. Search committee prayed about that, welcomed your resume, began a fresh set of interviews. And really, as much as a year ago, we felt like we were not clear from the Lord what to do. Well, here we are a year later, extremely clear on all fronts. Like, the search committee, with very clear direction from the Lord, can say, man, we believe we've seen God work. Mm-hmm. And we get to bear witness that, wow, it's very clear to us now. And that's just been really cool. I mean, the details of how all that came out about were really neat to me. But here we are, almost 33 months into you doing the job, and we're recommending you for the role. So let's take a look at what the role is.
Yeah.
Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
All right. So your title the discipleship and membership pastor.
That's right.
Well, you've had plenty of practice at the role, so you should be the local expert. Let's talk about it. What is the discipleship side of that? What does a discipleship pastor do at Carterville?
Yeah, discipleship pastor at Carterville, I would say, is the cheerleader for discipleship, which is big, and there's a ton of moments inside my role as a pastor where those are random and very good random things. But the two main tools that I am over that we use for discipleship at Carterville is Sunday school and cafe. And man, I love both of those spaces, both of those moments. In Sunday school, I care for, encourage, lead our Sunday school leaders, whether it comes to forming new classes or encouraging current classes. It also plays a part in plugging people into Sunday school classes. So anything involved with taking care of Sunday school leaders, Sunday school members. The second piece is cafe, which kind of my role in that is playing a role in deciding what cafe classes happen, what our church family needs, some of the topics that need addressed, topics that we need to grow in. And not only doing that, but finding the right people to teach those classes, to lead them, encouraging people to be in them, to grow in them. Just making sure that cafe is something that is healthy and good for our church family to equip us to follow Jesus as well. Both of those areas, Sunday school and cafe, love being a part of.
Cool. Well, I'm sure that as discipleship pastor. You do more than just the small group management. You know, I'm sure you disciple people and help encourage people with how to, but let me ask a question about those small groups.
Yeah.
Something I get a lot is what are the fundamental differences between our Sunday morning, you know, Sunday school small groups, mm-hmm. And our Wednesday night cafe?
Yeah, they are different, and for, I think, a really neat and intentional reason.
Okay.
So Sunday school is going to be a small group environment where hopefully you find people that you're going to see weekly, that you're going to see on a regular basis. You're going to get to know them, and you're going to get to go deep together, to get to know each other, your messes, your struggles, your victories, and you also have the chance to hopefully do life together, even Monday through Friday, have a group text or things like that. So you get to follow Jesus well together and get to know some folks well. Cafe is a little bit different in that you're going to get to know different types of folks. Hopefully, you know, our cafe classes, you know, they're going to rotate. You're going to see some people that you haven't met before. So you get a chance to get to know a broader spectrum of our church mm-hmm. family. And alongside with that, you got a chance to be just equipped through some teaching and instruction on what it means to follow Jesus well in particular areas.
Hey, that's one thing I love about Wednesday night cafe is that because the small groups are around like specific topics, parenting or money or an issue that people want to figure out, they kind of attract folks who are saying, I need help with that, or yeah. I'm interested in that. And so as a result, you look up and you get to meet new people in the church.
Like, oh yeah.
I remember when we first launched Carterville Cafe, like, gosh, seems like forever ago. That was one of the neat thing is that, things for me was that college students, in some cases, mm-hmm. were in the same room as senior adults.
Yep.
People you're never going to be in Sunday school with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was neat. So, whereas, you know, your Sunday school group is so stable. Like, you know them for yes. years sometimes.
Yep.
You get to love them well, but this is a cool chance to meet new people and be equipped practically. Okay, all right. So, discipleship. Thank you for leading that. What about membership? Like, what is the membership pack? Because that's a fairly new thing for us. Like,
yeah.
we've had a staff member overseeing membership process directly since 2016. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's not entirely new, but it's not one of those staff roles that people have heard about forever. What does a membership pastor do?
Yeah, and I'm glad that it's a part of the title. I think because it's become such an important thing to me. So I'd say as the membership side of what I've been doing for the past 33 months what that has mainly included is care for the members of our church family, starting from the point when they first walk through the doors of our church. Now, when they come through the doors as a guest, they know very little about our church family. But I believe that the people who walk into our doors want to connect with the Lord and His people. And so I want to be a part of leading that cause to welcome them in and to lead them along a journey that hopefully has them here till they die and meet Him. And so membership is broad and it includes, you know, interacting with guests, leading our deacons and our guest services team to care for our guests, all the way to caring for our members, whether they're, you know, a child who's just recently joined, been baptized and joined, or whether they're an 80-year-old who's been here for years. And so, you know, what that looks like practically, I do the majority of our churches Connecting at Carterville classes, which is such a privilege. It's a chance for me to share with prospective members on what our church family, who our church family is, what the Lord's done in our church's lifespan, and then also kind of connect them deeper into our church family. So I'd say this, if you want to step into Connecting at Carterville, man, give me a call. If you're a member who has been here for years, but you want to go through that class, let's do it. Like, I would love to do that. That's such a privilege to be a part of. So Connecting at Carterville, that's one thing I do. I also work with our deacons to care for our senior adults as well. I count that as a key component of member care. And so just making sure that membership at Carterville, our members are taken care of, that is not a one-person job. That yeah. can't be a one-person job,
yeah,
but I love being a part of leading the cause in that.
And I know that like all of us have the mentality that, you know, biblically we're supposed to be equipping the saints of the yep. body of Christ to do the work of Jesus. And I know you do that. There's a lot in that. From, you think about guest services, like from pens in the pew racks to, you know, guest connecting cards and QR codes and processing that. And but what a pleasure. Hey, let me ask you this. in your membership role,
yeah,
you get to have quality encounters with all of our new members
their
way in the door. What's been, I guess, your best experience in that? What's been your favorite part of that so far?
Best experience, I gotta say two things. Number one is hearing people's testimonies. It is so good. I think I'm one of the most privileged people at Carterville to hear over and over testimony of how God has worked inside the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. That is incredible. It's not even close to a chore for me. It's uplifting to my own soul. The second one is seeing the incredible ways that God has gifted, skilled, and empowered each and every one of our church members. Every single person that I've done connecting a Carter with, I've been able to get a glimpse at how God has shaped them. And it is amazing. Like, it's a privilege. I really say I'm probably one of the most privileged seats that we can have inside of our church to be able to see the incredible, not just potential, but the incredible gift or gifts that the Lord has given to our church family in the people that are here. It's amazing.
Excellent. So you've been doing this a long time. I mean, this particular role.
Yeah.
Right. I'll bet you've grown some. I bet you've learned some. Mm-hmm. Right. I would be curious, you know, in this last, almost 3 years, how's God shaped you in that role? I know that's a question that, you know, we didn't talk about before the podcast, but as I'm talking with you, I'm thinking about what's changed. Like, what's been the big work that he's done in your life in those 2.5 years?
Yeah. I really have to keep on going kind of off of my previous thought, in that I think one way that he's grown me is he's developed in me a deep appreciation and a reliance upon other Christians. I think oftentimes I've walked about in my faith very prideful or thinking about myself, or, you know, I can follow Jesus on my own. But I think when I hear the stories of what God has done in the lives of my brothers and sisters, and how he's shaped them, how he's gifted, skilled, equipped them, and how unique that is in things that I can't even do on my own, right? It gives me an appreciation and reliance upon my brothers and sisters. And so it turns down a little bit of pride. Right, turns out a lot of pride, because I look at him like, man, I can't do those things, but I'm so glad that God has gifted someone to be able to do that, makes me a little bit more reliant upon His people.
Terrific, thanks for sharing. So there's a kind of a wild card and I'll share this. This is something you've been asked by the personnel committee to start doing more recently. This was we asked you in November, so you've got almost 3 months, you know, of practice here, but. So Chris Smith was our worship pastor, but he also had great administrative skills. And so in May of 2021, I asked Chris to start joining me in finance committee meetings. And he did a great job really helping improve some of our budgeting process, just his administrative skill. Yeah, he was a great partner in the financial management of our church, Financial Life Church. He was a blessing there. So as Chris announced that he was leaving for another role, you know, one of our tasks was to look around and find out who's the right person for different responsibilities. And we looked at who would we like to ask to help us manage the budget, meet with the finance committee, and kind of oversee some of the tasks that are required to keep it up with the administrative side of that. And we looked up and we had an interim minister who has an MBA and an administrative mind, and we approached Chris about it, approached you about it, and it's been a great fit. Like, you jumped into that. And what was neat to me is that none of us knew Chris was going to resign and go to Jackson.
Yeah.
And we had exactly what we needed for that component of the work. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that's been sort of added onto your job description since Chris's departure for new work. How do you feel about it?
I love it. I love it. It's a privilege to serve the Lord and our church family in that area, and one that I didn't expect or anticipate. I think, you know, just to illustrate a little bit of what I appreciate about that is I love playing a role in leading our family to be faithful to serve the Lord in how we use the funds that He's given us. It is amazing to see all of the faithful engagement and giving from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think we as a church family want to be obedient to Jesus and faithful to steward those funds well. And so being a partner in that and having a role to say, yeah, let's do that well, man, that's a huge responsibility.
Yep.
And that weighs on me in a good way, but it's one that I feel very privileged to be a part of.
Well, you've been a great partner. I mean, you love a spreadsheet.
That's right.
You know, part of staff meeting, you present new members and you share the numbers, like you help us see how attendance is up or down or whatever in different environments. But I know you love a spreadsheet.
And I do.
So you're the right guy for that. And uniquely equipped. And to me, that's a cool testimony that God knew this was coming before any of us did.
Yeah.
And his timing is so perfect and it's created so much confidence. I know I love people. I love Jesus. I love people. I'm energetic, kind of a brainstorm guy. You know, got a little dreamer's vision. But I don't love a spreadsheet and long-term administrative tasks. Man, I'm glad that you do.
You got someone who does.
There you go. Keep it up. Hey, Brick, thanks a lot for being on the podcast twice and for sharing so much of what you do at work and so much of what you've done personally to get here, like how God shaped you. I remember when I first met you and you were my intern and we were driving around Hattiesburg and I was talking about a love for the church and a love for our context, for the people that walk around here. Some of them in cultural Christianity, not knowing the depths of the joy that Jesus wants to bring to them. And it's really been neat to have a front row seat to watch God invite you to think to one thing after the other. Lots of unpredicted turns in your journey. And you've been faithful every time to step up and do your best in whatever work. It's neat for me to have a front row seat with our search committee to watch God invite you to our staff in a more permanent basis. So, man, praise God and thanks for sharing your story.
Thanks, Ben.
Church family, if this podcast is interesting to you, I want to encourage you to share it, pass it around to folks that might enjoy it or benefit from it. And I invite you, on behalf of the search committee, to join us on February the 4th, where we'll cast our vote towards their motion that we call Brick Sager to be our discipleship and membership pastor. God bless you, church family. Have a great week. Serve Jesus. Love one another well.